So let us have a word of prayer. Our kind and heavenly Father, we praise thy holy name to thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the plan of redemption, truly knowing that we are yours. We pray that you will accept our forgiveness. Give us the forgiveness of our sins. We are sinners, we know that, Father, in need of redemption. And through the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ, we know that we may be redeemed to have eternal life with our Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. So I just pray this morning that the Holy Spirit is here with us to guide our thoughts, our minds, keep us on the track that leads to the eternal life. So I just praise thy holy name again, praying for the Holy Spirit to be with me. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I don't know, I thought I was going to start with several questions, and I had, too many, really, questions to ask. Mainly the reasons why you're here today on the Sabbath, or on Saturday. We all have different reasons, but I'm going to take another approach to that there. And we know that most of us here today are members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I'm not saying this church here in Elmira, but the whole Seventh-day Adventist Church. Some of us have been here long, three or four years, till a lifetime. In that lifetime, when it came time, you brought up in the church, then you was baptized through Jesus Christ, and you continued to that there. Not to brag or anything, but last month was 50 years that I'd been a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So that... But to come into the church, to become a child of God. And I'm not saying that you have to belong to a church to be a child of God. And as I said, we have different reasons. Some may here may not be members, and I pray that you will become members. And you are here seeking something. And I pray that you are seeking the Lord Jesus Christ, and you also have other reasons for being here. And I believe that one of the reasons to see you here in church, and as you continue to come here to church, what you can expect in God's church. What can you receive from the Seventh-day Adventist Church? And why would I become a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church? As we know, if you take a look at the back of your bulletin, we had some of our beliefs there. I'm not sure how many number I counted it one day, but can't remember the number. There on the back, our beliefs. We have 28 fundamental beliefs or doctrines completely to look at to see what it is. And I'm not trying to prove anything today. I just want to give a little review of why I belong to the church that I do. Believe as I do and what I expect in God's church. I have many verses and I probably won't get to all of them for that. So I just pray that we can be yours for eternity, forever and ever. And if you would turn to Ephesians 1 and verses 22 and 23. And hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And verses 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 and 13. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Yes, we know that the church is very important. And it should be in our lives. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 14 through 17. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We know that the church has to teach and accept all of the Bible, not just one part or such. Paul said that truth and error cannot be mixed, and we know that God's religion is being just done. That. It has been said that the world is the instrument that shifts the church and tests the gentleness of the church. I believe in that. And then if you would turn to Matthew 16. Verse 6, and Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Verse 7, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Then verse 12, then understand they how that he bade them all beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Do not look for a church that is popular, but one who teaches and accepts the Bible. And even though that we know that there are a diversity of people in the Bible, in the church, we know that the church cannot have bad doctrines. Do not belong to a church that teaches false doctrine and teaches contrary to the Scriptures. Don't be a party to falsehood and help others to deceive. We truly know that we need to read the Bible very carefully and search it out for the answers that we want for our lives to that. To search and search for the truth of the Bible and join the church that teaches that. And we know that there's no denomination as such in the Bible. And just joining any church does not settle it. The Bible must be the answer. The only guide that anyone can have in religion. Then we can look to 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. We know that, according to the Bible, the church that you need to find is one that is going to be different from the world. We need to start with the Bible and then find a church that matches it. Then along with some other Bible verses that we have to show that I belong, must hold to these following verses that I have. First and foremost, it teaches the literal second coming of our Christ. And it is going to happen soon. If you would turn to John chapter 14. And verses 1 through 3. Read these many, many times. John 14, 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for thee. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Yes, our Lord Jesus wants us to be with him. So we just pray that we will be able to do that. Be with our Lord forever and ever. And then Titus chapter 2 of Titus, talking about the glorious hope. Verse 13, Titus 2, chapter 13. Looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of our great God and of our Savior Jesus Christ. Paul calls it that blessed hope, and it should be a blessed hope to us, that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to receive us into himself, to have that hope of our Lord's coming with a surety and proclaim it to the world. And we know that we are going to have tribulations and trials trying to do that in our lives. But yet we are told that the Holy Spirit will be with us and guide us through whatever we have to go through. And then Acts chapter 1. And verse 11, chapter 1, verse 11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand thee gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you unto heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. It's going to be a real coming, similar to his ascension. And then to belong to a church that doesn't throw away the only Bible that Jesus had to preach from. We know that to be the Old Testament. And then again, our scripture meditation, 2 Peter 1, 19 through 21. You don't have to turn there. We won't read that again, but that was our scripture meditation. The stamp of approval is on the whole Bible, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Yes, written by men of old, but inspired by the Holy Spirit. And then Revelation chapter 22, last book of the Bible. I believe we'll be turning back to that chapter again. Verses 18 and 19. Revelation 12, 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the word of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Talking about the Bible and what we've done. We cannot take away or add to the Bible. And men have done that. We must take the doctrines from the Old Testament as well as from the New Testament to be able to choose the church that we may belong to. John 14:13 tells us that we need to pray to God in the name of Christ alone and no others. Exodus 20:3-5. Church that does not allow images. And then if you would go to Matthew 23. Matthew chapter 23. And verse 9. Chapter 23, verse 9. Got to get the right one. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Yes, we have only one father, which is in heaven. It has to be a clean church. And I don't mean the dust and dirtiness of it to be that. Church that does not tolerate immorality and encourage plurality of marriage. Our morals have to be of the highest standard. We have the Ten Commandments to guide us, to help us through. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 3:17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Talking about the heart. The temple of God, where God may dwell. Where Jesus may dwell. Where the Holy Spirit may dwell. That's. And also that promotes not eating unclean things, according to Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14. In other words, live a healthy life. 1 John 2. 1 John 2:15-17. 1 John 2:15-17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. That was the three evils of Eve. In her taking of the forbidden fruit. We have to have a high standard apart from the world. And we have to preach against worldly amusements. Not to belong to an easy church, but to belong to a church that has the truth. a church that does not teach evolution. We know that says scientists can prove anything, and if science doesn't prove it, it's not true. Say that this world is billions and billions of years old. And here, reading our scriptures, we know that it is around 6,000 years old. God said he created everything, even man. Would you ever think that man would take a monkey over God? Somehow they say that we evolved from apes. And if you turn to Romans chapter 1, and verses 22 and 25. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. In verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Yes, creation of this world, the creation of man by God, spoke and it was done. Do you believe it? We know that everything that we do as we read the Bible, look at the stories that are in there of how God acted, how he used people. We know that we have to take it on faith. We were not there. We didn't see that. So our faith has to be strong. And I pray that it is as we accept the Bible. A church that supports its ministers by God's money and not man's money. I'm talking about tithe. Not man that uses bazaars or lotteries or other ways to have money for the church. A church that does not teach a false doctrine about death. The Bible says that the dead are sleeping, waiting for that blessed resurrection morning. And there's a lot of verses for that, too. 1 Timothy 6:15 and 16, Psalms 146, verse 4, chapter 6, verse 5, chapter 115, 17. But I'd like you to turn to Ecclesiastes. That's a book right after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes 9. Verse 5. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. And 6. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished, neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. And then verse 10. And whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. As I said, the dead know not anything until the resurrection. 1 Thessalonians. I know I'm running you all over the Bible, but I want these verses to sink in today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Yes, a bodily resurrection at the second coming of our Lord. Malachi 4, verse 1 and 3 talks about unending torment in the church that does not teach a doctrine of unending torment. The wicked will receive their just reward. And the Bible doesn't say anything about hell being unending. And Ephesians 4, 5. If you would turn there, Ephesians 4, 5. Short verse. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Yes, a church that does not teach a false baptism. Immersion is the only form that the Bible teaches. 1 John 1:9 says to believe, sins are forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ alone. No other way. The church has to promote that. That honors all the commandments of God. Short that, if you look, John 14:15. John 14:15. Short one too. If you love me, keep my commandments. Revelation 22:14. Again, the last book of the Bible. Verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Matthew 19:17, if you love me, keep my commandments. Saying that we're going to go into the holy city through the gates. Which gate will we use? It is complete and made of a pearl. Which tribe that we're going to belong to, we don't know. But we have the privilege of one day ending in the New Jerusalem. And I pray that each one of us here will be able to do that. And last, that hates the dragon. Revelation 12:17. Know that the dragon has persecuted a woman. And we know that we cannot accept that. And to end with, the only church that fits all these descriptions is the one that I must belong to. And I pray that you do also. Take the Bible first and then find the church that matches it. And once again, from Helen Yen, the Seventh-day Truth is a way home to heaven. Yes, the Bible, the wonderful words of life. And I pray that our Bibles are not sitting on the library shelf gaining dust. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, our God, our guide, we thank thee that we may be yours. We all have different circumstances. And you know them. You know us even before we were born. As you chose Paul in his mother's womb, we pray that you will choose us. We pray finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with. Thank you, Father, again for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the opportunity that we have to be like Jesus and to be with him one day for eternity. Now we pray, Father, that we'll be able to go safely on our ways. And yes, continue to be with the ones that are suffering, the ones that was hurt in this latest storm that we've had, and to be with the people in California also. We pray for all of these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.